Welcome to another exciting David Greenwald and the Leanness Lifestyle Presents audio program. In this interview, David speaks with member Sandy Porter about her tremendous success with the Leanness Lifestyle. Sandy not only lost the weight she wanted, but she has also performed what some believe is impossible. She has maintained the weight loss for the past year. She continues to improve her physique with lifestyle training principles, but now it's time to sit back, put your thinking cap on, and listen to David and Sandy as they explore her transformation journey with the Leanness Lifestyle.
Today I have on the phone member Sandy Porter. Sandy, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for doing the interview with me today.
Sure.
Can you please tell me a little bit about yourself? Can you tell the listeners, you know, whether you're married, whether you have children, you know, kind of what's going on in your family life and so forth?
Okay. I am married. We've been married for 10 years. And I have two children, a 5-year-old boy and an 8-year-old girl. And we also own our own business, so we're self-employed, involved in a lot of things in the community and our church and school, things like that. Always real busy. And my youngest has just started kindergarten this year, so I'm going back full-time into our business. Keep pretty busy.
Absolutely. So your daily life is a very busy mom and a business person and wife, not unlike me and many other listeners that are going to be hearing this.
Right. I wear a lot of hats.
Yes, exactly. What I want to talk to you today about is your success over the years and most recently the past year or so with weight control. And the reason that I want to talk to you is because you've done exceptionally well, and you've continued to do exceptionally well. And I want to get some insight and allow the listeners to get a little insight as to why that may be the case. So let's start with a little bit of history, and we'll find out a little bit about your weight control or lack of weight control in the past and things that may have been related to that or things that may have caused that. And then we'll just kind of take it from there. So what is the heaviest you ever weighed? And if you want to, you can tell the listeners a little bit maybe about when it all started. I'm not sure, to be honest, when it all did start for you, Sandy. Like,
well, I was thin when we got married, but thin being like a size 10. And I've been a size 10, 8, 10, 12, but mostly 10, 12 for the last 10 years since we've been married. I really started putting on the weight when during the pregnancies. And it was the type of thing where, you know, the first pregnancy was, oh, you know, you're eating for two and all this other pressure that you get to overeat when you're pregnant. And once I had Amelia, the weight never, I never got back to where I was. And then I got pregnant again. And I went through three pregnancies and just never lost that weight. And I always had an excuse for it. Oh, you know, I'll wait till I stop breastfeeding. Oh, I'll wait till this happens, this happens. I was waiting for the perfect time. And I took a trip, and during that time, my weight was probably, I think the lowest was like 155. I could never, ever get below 150. And I never thought I would get below 150. I always thought I had, my bones were just that size, and I was never going to get below 150.
Let me just stop you for just a second so we can kind of keep things in order. Now, Amelia is your oldest?
Yes.
And how old is she now?
She's 8.
She's 8, so... Now, you said that when you got married, and that was how many years ago again?
10.
About 10 years ago. When you got married, you said you were relatively thin. Now, thin was somewhere between a 10 and a 12.
Right.
Now, prior to marriage, in your youth or high school or whatever, how was your weight then?
My weight was fine then because I was very active. When I was a teenager and in my early 20s, I taught aerobics. This was in the 80s and the big aerobics craze.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of those fitness instructors. I thought, in my mind, I thought if I do aerobics and if I walk, because I taught classes, I taught people how to, mostly older people, how to lose weight by walking. And again, this was 15 years ago.
Right.
I never did any weight training, but I always thought I could control my weight by doing aerobics.
Okay, so in your, prior to being married and say like, the latter part of high school, junior, senior year, and beyond, in the first part of your late teens, early 20s,
mm-hmm.
were you a 10 or a 12 then? Or were you a little smaller then?
A little bit smaller.
A little bit smaller then.
Yeah.
But you were strictly into cardio, and you were even teaching some weight control methods
right.
for some of the elderly population with walking and so forth.
Right.
Okay. So I just kind of want to get a picture of kind of when this all started. So from what you're saying, it sounds like you know, when you got married, you were in that all 10, size 10 range or whatever. And once Amelia was born and, you know, during the pregnancy and so forth, this is when things started to really climb as far as your weight.
Right.
And it just, and since then, well, except for the past year, year and a half, your weight continued to climb and you, as you had said, you never thought that you could get below 150.
Right.
Now, how tall are you?
5'5".
5'5". Okay. So we just have to get a perspective there. Okay. So what was the heaviest you ever weighed? And when was that?
Was 170, and that was April in 2001.
Okay.
And I had taken a trip. Me and my older sister take a trip every year to St. Louis to see my brother. And, you know, we always enjoy our road trips. We have a good time. But I'm on the way back. You know, we were stopping in towns and seeing family and things. On the way back for the last 2 to 3 days of the trip, I could only wear these one certain pants that had an elastic waist. And I was embarrassed. I thought, this is what it's come to. You know, I'm taking this trip. I have clean clothes, but I'm stuck wearing the same pair of pants for 2 to 3 days because I can't fit into anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at the point where I refused to go higher than the 12.
Right.
And I had to do something.
Excellent. So now that was in April of 2001.
Right.
Okay, so you decided you had had enough, and did something happen after the trip, or what did you do after the trip then to kind of get things in motion?
After the trip, actually on the trip, I had taken the book Body for Life with me on the trip.
Okay.
And I had read about it. So when I came home, I said, this is it. This is a stopping point. I need to start something. I set up goals that I would lose 20 pounds in 12 weeks. And during that 12 weeks, I lost 11 pounds.
Okay, so this was like starting like maybe in May of 2001 or something?
No, that was in April.
In April. You started right away.
Yes, and I finished in July, and I was very disappointed that I could not lose 20 pounds.
Why were you disappointed?
Because I had set my goals. I had seen so many before and after pictures that just blew me away. And I just assumed that it would be easy and that I'd be able to lose 20 pounds.
Where did you get most of your before and after photo information?
From the Body for Life.
From Muscle Media or from the book?
From the book.
From the book. So you did Body for Life for, 12 weeks and you lost about 11 pounds. And there was some disappointment there. Were there any other programs other than Body for Life that you had tried?
I tried to keep my weight under control by doing aerobics and by walking.
Okay. And then it was on this trip in April that you took the book with you. You were wearing, I think you said, stretch pants or whatever.
Right.
And that was basically all you could wear. And then you started Body for Life after the trip. And you lost 11 pounds in the 12 weeks. And you were a little bit frustrated or disappointed in those 11 pounds.
Well, one thing I was frustrated about was you'd think if you lose 11 pounds, you'd change your size. I didn't.
Oh, I see.
I stayed the same size.
Oh, okay. And at that time...
That was very frustrating.
And at that time, you were probably a 12.
Yes.
And you stayed a 12 with the 11-pound loss.
Right.
Okay. And at that time, just again, you've already said this several times, and I know you're making this point, and I'll make it again, too, but... At that time, you were still just doing cardio or aerobic activity for exercise.
When I started Body for Life, no, I added weight.
Okay.
But I did it very light. I didn't push myself. It was my first introduction to weight, so I wasn't sure what to do.
Well, let me ask you this, Sandy, because this is an interesting thing to me. Now, you read Body for Life, and it's an easy read, you know, and it's not a very long book. So, and you started the program, and you went, you know, gung-ho with it. When you started off, I would imagine. Now, in that book, they talk about hitting high points and whatnot, but you stayed very light.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that was?
Because I was new to weight training. I was very intimidated by it because I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know to push myself. You know, I had read about it, but doing it is another thing. Plus, I worked out by myself, so I didn't have anybody there to show me certain things.
You never enlisted the services of like a personal trainer or anything like that?
No.
Okay.
Actually, on one of the boards, on one of the BFL boards, I started asking a lot of questions, and there was a certain person on the board that would always come back with these great answers and all this knowledge and any question that I had, he would answer it. And so I started, we started emailing back and forth and just using him as a reference. And he is actually, he was trained in the coaching club. And so he recommended the coaching club to me.
Okay. So, now, okay, let's keep things moving forward here from, I think you said July, you finished that first 12-week BFL. And during this time, you were conversing on, you know, like so many other people do, the internet boards, Body for Life boards, and what have you. And you went across at least one person who seemed to have more knowledge than some of the others, or someone that you were just, at least information-wise, you were attracted to because the person seemed to really know their stuff.
Right.
Now, when did this start occurring? When did this person say, well, Sandy, it sounds like you might want to take the next step and do the Lena's lifestyle? After July?
That was in August.
That was in August of 2000.
That was in August because I floundered. I tried to set another challenge, and I just floundered. I was not losing any weight, and I was very frustrated. And I know we started talking in August, and when he recommended the coaching club and Lena's lifestyle, I kind of stewed on it for a week or so, and I finally, he also emailed me and said, you know, he is having a challenge for women. You might want to look into this if you have at least 20 pounds to lose. And I thought, well, I'd love to lose 20 pounds, but I don't think that's possible because that's that 150 barrier that I've never broken in my adult life. And so I did sign up for the coaching club on a Monday night, and Tuesday the challenge started.
Okay, now at the time that this person suggested you come into the program, and at that time, just the timing was impeccable, of course, because there was a challenge beginning, and it's now known as the Diva Challenge, and you were a part of Diva 1. Now, when that happened, what did you weigh in August of 2001?
159.
Okay, so at 159 is where you were at the time, and you had it in your head just this 150 barrier you just had not been at since your married adult life.
Right.
Okay. Now, you came to the club on a Monday night, did you say? Okay.
That's when I put in my application. You called me Tuesday morning.
Okay.
And said, here's the information about the challenge. Are you interested? And I said, oh, my God. You know, this guy's calling me? And I said, sure, sir. And I hung up the phone and said, oh, my gosh, what have I done? I had committed to it. The first conference call was that evening. And once I got through the conference call, I knew I did the right thing. I went with my instinct, really.
Well, that's a great insight in that you said after the first conference call you knew you had done the right thing because, as we've discussed in the past, and the members of Diva One know, and so do people who have listened to that Diva One tape, a lot of people after that first conference were really wondering if they had done the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you kind of really believed at that time that you had done the right thing by joining.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. Okay, so in August of 2001, you came into the club. You were accepted into the very first Diva Challenge, and we began. So tell us a little bit. You don't have to get into every little thing that we did and that entire experience, but generally speaking, what was that experience like? What was participating in Diva One like? And tell us where you went in weight over what period of time.
Okay, well, we started August 14th, and we finished November 6th, I believe it was. And what I did, the first couple of conferences, I took notes. I mean, I just scribbled everywhere. I got a notebook and just started making notes of everything. Especially our first conference call, we were just bombarded with, I was just bombarded with so much new information with the calories and the breakdown of the food that we should be eating. And we had assignments. One of our first assignments was to log our foods for 3 days. And I had no problem with that. I had not done that before, but I had a problem in sending it to someone. And knowing that I had to send it to you and be accountable to someone, it really made me stop and think. And once I realized that I was eating twice of what I needed to be eating, it just hit me, you know, once you see it in black and white in front of you, you say, oh, this is what I need to do. I need to cut back.
Have you ever logged before, Sandy?
No.
Never? Okay, you've never logged.
Never. The whole concept of logging and the breakdown of the food, knowing the calories, the protein, the carb, and the fat content, that I had never done that before. And it was a very eye-opening experience because my days were carb-loaded.
what would you say to someone right now? I don't want to get too much ahead of myself. What would you say, since we're on this topic of logging, to someone right now who is sitting there thinking, hey, I ain't got time for logging. You know, life's too short to be sitting down or using a nutrition analyzer or some other program to log my foods. I mean,
well,
I'm a busy person. Come on.
I know, but it works. And you may have to do it for a short time. I don't have to do it permanently now, but if I get stuck, I'll do it for a couple of days and I'll find my problem. It's just a concept of seeing it in black and white and logging down everything that goes into your mouth, because we fool ourselves so many times saying, oh, this bite of this won't matter, or oh, this topping on my potato won't matter. And once you log all that, you see that it does matter. And those little things do add up. And for that period of time, we only had to do it for 3 days. But I did it a couple times during the challenge to keep me focused and to keep me knowing where I had to be.
Oh, excellent. Well, during the challenge, we experienced many things, and we had many teleconferences, and we did all kinds of things. But what was the experience like in general, and what did your weight end up doing? What happened?
I broke the 150 barrier. That was a big thing.
Okay.
And once I did that, I realized, wow, I could actually do this and lose 20 pounds. And that would take me down to the 130s. The whole concept of having the 12 women throughout the country, I met all these new people. Some of them were in the same position that I was in. The accountability factor was a big thing to me, because here I was accountable to 14 other people, or 12 other people plus the coaches. And I was not going to let them down. I felt like I had committed to this, and I did not want to give up. I did not want to let anyone down. The whole idea of having a group of 12 women, I mean, we became very close during those 12 weeks, and it was just great. It was wonderful. The weekly teleconferences that we had were great, because it kept me on schedule, and the assignments that we had, it was all part of the learning process. I felt like I was in school.
Exactly.
In fitness school.
What happened with your weight then? Give us the kind of the final scenario. What happened with your weight in the between the August 14th and November 6th?
After, I think, about the second week, I set up a chart. I set up a chart of the 12 weeks and where I wanted to be. My goal was to lose 20 pounds, so at the beginning I put 159. At the end I put 139. And then I narrowed it down to what I had to lose per week. And I set a range of 2 to 3 pounds.
Right.
That would give me some kind of leeway. Because there were weeks where I did not lose, and there were weeks where I lost 2 pounds.
Right.
So it all evened out at the end. But I ended the challenge at 136, which was 23 pounds, which exceeded my expectations for it.
And there are those that would say, Sandy, and I want to hear what you have, just any insight you may have to this, in that they say that when you start out at 170 pounds, that, you know, your first 10 or 15 pounds are, let's put this in quote, easy,
mm-hmm.
and that as you get closer to your goal, that it becomes much harder. But you lost 11 pounds in 12 weeks, and then you lost 23 pounds in 12 weeks. So that's kind of the opposite of what some believe should occur.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to, what would you have to say to the individuals with regard to that particular aspect, that the first whatever is easy, and the next however many pounds are hard? What would you have to say with regard to having the right program, or knowing exactly what it is that needs to be done, and how that affects the easy versus hard perception?
Yeah, I know that perception too, that if you have a lot of weight to lose, that it'll be easier until you get down to a certain amount. I don't think that's true. I think it's the program that you're on and how dedicated you are to the program. If you stay with the program, you can quit the program and blame that program, but actually it's you quitting yourself and quitting the goals that you have, or working out, or eating right. I was amazed that I could, when I compare those to the 11 pounds and the 23 pounds, the 23 pounds was not harder than losing that 11 pounds. I was just a lot more focused, and I had the right program. It was working for me.
How important is it? I mean, to me it's vitally important, but how important is it in your mind to, there's a lot of people I think that put out quite a bit of effort at doing the wrong things. And you kind of just said that your first 12 weeks losing 11 pounds was not easier or harder or whatever. Actually, you said your 23 pounds in 12 weeks was not harder than your first 11 pounds in 12 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
How much of that would you attribute to having the right knowledge? Because there are people that work very, very hard at certain programs, but they aren't applying the right principles to the program they're on. And they make things, in my opinion, they make things far harder on themselves than they have to.
Right. It seems so easy when you have the right tools and you use them.
All right. Well, let's move on to something that I wanted to ask about the challenge again, and is that, okay, we moved from 159 to 136 for a 23-pound weight loss, but did the challenge give you any insight as to perhaps why you had the mindset that you had, why you had remained heavier than you wanted to be over the years, or did you learn anything besides just how to count calories and, you know, how to get weight off during the challenge? Was it any more than that?
Yeah, there's a couple things that I can really point to. The first being that I am responsible for all my choices that got me to this, you know, that got me to the 170 or the 159. You know, for so many years I blamed different things. I blamed people or things or food. And a lot of the changes that I went through in the Diva Challenge, a lot of them were emotional. And then changing my mindset, the weightlifting was another key element. I did not realize how the weightlifting would change my body.
What was your expectation prior to ever using a good, sound resistance training program as far as what resistance training or weightlifting, as many people call it, would do for you or do to you?
Make me stronger.
You believed it would make you stronger?
Mm-hmm.
How did you believe it would affect your size?
I didn't know.
Oh, okay.
I had no idea.
You didn't have any preconceived notion about it?
No.
Because, you see, a lot of women...
Actually, I didn't want to be bulky. I thought, oh, if you're lifting weights, you're going to be bulky.
Well, that was kind of what I was wondering. Is a lot of women do believe that once they begin resistance training, they're going to get huge.
Yes. Yes. And that's probably why I stayed away from it. But it was the exact opposite. I did not realize how weightlifting would just charge my metabolism. And the size and the body change during the challenge was just unbelievable. When I finished, I was in a size 6, and that just blew me away.
Yeah, going from a 12 to a 6 in 12 weeks or something like that is really, really awesome. And you hadn't been in a 6 since... Well, probably the high school or a little bit beyond.
That's right.
So the two primary things you learned were that you're responsible for your choices and the outcome of those choices. And the second thing is that resistance training is your friend, not something to avoid. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Okay. You know, the primary reason I'm interviewing you today, Sandy, is your record of living the lifestyle is excellent. I mean, you graduated Diva 1, like we said, in November of 2001, at 136. Now, when you graduated at 136, how did you feel about that? Did you feel, obviously you were going to be happy about it. That's a blinding glimpse of the nearly obvious. But how did you feel about living there? How did you feel about where to from here? Would you please take a moment to tell us how you've done since then?
Okay.
Nearly a year later.
Well, when we finished, it was early November, and in my mind, we had the holidays to get through. Two major holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas. When we finished the challenge, I immediately set goals of, oh, I can lose 10 more pounds. And, of course, I got some emails from you saying maintenance and how important maintenance is. And maintenance is not lack of work. But I needed time to adjust to that new body. And I realized, I think it was after Thanksgiving, oh, this is what he was talking about. This is what the maintenance is. And so I stayed with the maintenance, and maintenance was just maintaining that weight during the holidays.
What do you mean that you kind of got what I said with regard to maintenance and how maintenance isn't the absence of...
When you first told me about maintenance, I first thought, well, I know that, but here, look at me. I've lost 23 pounds in 12 weeks. I can do 10 more. But there were so many emotional issues in relationships to the holidays. You know, holidays are a big thing in our house, and we had two major ones, and there's so many activities that we're involved in.
Well, you know, we're getting ready to come up upon it again because we're doing this interview in October of 2002, and we're getting ready to hit the holidays, the Thanksgiving through January 15th holidays again. So if you can, let's talk just a little bit about that and how you came to the realization that maintenance really is not the absence of action. It's a furtherance of action, and how coming to that reality kind of refocused you on, instead of continuing to lose, instead adjusting to the new body, adjusting to the new look, adjusting to the new mindset, and then on top of making those adjustments, making adjustments that were going to be necessary to keep you from rebounding from Thanksgiving through January 15th. How did you do that, and how did you approach those holidays with the right mindset, and what changed?
Well, I did not think of building this lifestyle as a quick fix. I realized that if I was going to live this lifestyle, that the changes would not be just physical, but other things in my life would have to change. I had like an awakening during the challenge, and I needed to continue on with that. I had so many emotional barriers that I discovered in the challenge, and I realized after the challenge, that's great, I know what to do now, but I have to keep doing it. I can't go back to the old ways, because if I do, my weight is going to do, it's going to go back to the old ways.
What do you mean you had so many emotional barriers? Not, you don't have to get into super details, but I mean, just a little bit of insight, because there's so many people, as you know, that their biggest struggle, as I've kind of harped on recently, is not in figuring out some calories in, calories out formula, because, as I say, you know, a monkey can do the math.
Mm-hmm.
But there are many, many other issues that the lifestyle addresses that go far beyond the calories in, calories out mantra that people chant. So give us just a couple examples of some of these emotional things that you figured out.
Three things I can think of that on the top of my head.
Okay.
And this is just for me, and I know it's different for everyone else. The first one was compulsive eating.
Give us an example.
Comforting chocolate.
Okay, and give us an example, a situation. Give us an example of what you would typically experience and how you changed with regard to how you looked at those experiences and compulsive eating. Just give us an example of what you would have done pre-Lunas lifestyle that created the 170 body weight with regard to compulsive eating. And where was the shift mentally and emotionally so that you didn't continue doing that?
Ice cream was a big comfort food. On the weekends, I would buy ice cream, chocolate, hand-baked chocolate with crunchy stuff in it, the fattest you could find. And me and my husband, that was our weekend treat. And Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, and we would just finish off two or three half-gallons of ice cream. When I started the challenge, I thought, oh, well, I can still do that maybe just one night. And I realized very shortly into the challenge that I have to give this up for a while. I cannot do this. I am substituting this food for some emotion that I'm not getting.
Right.
And that leads me into one of the other problems was my marriage. I was having a lot of emotional issues with my marriage, and I was turning to food. And I was using excuse after excuse after excuse not to fix it, and just using my food as a comfort.
Well, thank you for sharing that, too, because there are so many that are in the exact same situation. And if we don't address the real heart of the matter, we don't get to the bottom of what is really creating the activities where food is being used for things far more than nutritional content, then we're always going to have an issue with food, and we're always going to have an issue with weight control. So one of the things was using food for compulsive eating.
Right.
And the other thing was, you hadn't perhaps properly addressed, it hadn't hit you in the face hard enough, but you hadn't properly addressed some issues at that time, as we all married people have, and you just hadn't quite addressed those as they should have been until the challenge kind of had it come to a conclusion. And there was a third thing?
Yes, the other one was PMS.
Oh.
And I mentioned that because I let it control my life. My husband would joke and say, you know, I only get you for 2 weeks of the month, a good you. I had slowly, over the years, let these symptoms and this take over. And I realized during the challenge that I had to get control of this. I don't like it when, and I'm not trying to be critical of anyone else that would do this, but using it as an excuse, because I used it as an excuse for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't want to do that at all. I want to be able to control the symptoms that I have, either with vitamins or changing my mindset towards it,
mm-hmm.
and the exercise program that I'm on, and the foods that I eat. I believe that you can control it by all those things, and it has made a big difference.
What would you say to a woman, Sandy, who says, perhaps someone who has experienced, a woman who had a mother who had suffered, you know, quite badly with PMS, and they also suffer with PMS, and they just have clenched their fists, and they're just going to will themselves around it?
It's not going to work. I've tried it.
Okay.
I have tried it, and it is amazing. Once you start healing from it, that you look back and think, oh, I don't have to suffer with this. I don't have to be a monster for a week and just think it's okay.
Well,
and just use that as an excuse to someone, oh, you know, I'm sorry, I snapped at you, I have PMS. Well, if you get under control, you don't have to snap at people once a month, you know.
What would you say about the idea, and this is something that I've talked about in the past with regard to PMS, is what would you say about the idea, too, that I believe that it's not just the 1 week a month that things are affected, because depending on how things are handled during that week, when you're in a relationship especially, I believe there's quite a residual effect.
Oh, yeah.
With regard to the spouse. I mean, if things are truly out of control, and you know after the week is over that you really handled some situations less than admirably,
mm-hmm.
that the partner in your life may not necessarily get over it as quick as that week ends. Did you agree with that?
And that's part of the emotional baggage that I had to go through and to realize what my actions were doing over a period of time. I mean, I have a great spouse who puts up with a lot. And I was.
I can't believe that, Sandy. I don't believe that true for one second. I don't think he has to put up with anything.
Yeah. You know how much I harass you.
Yeah, I know. No, I'm just all in good fun. So we do understand what you mean, though. We really do. And, I mean, I know I do. I know the listeners do as well. And I just want to thank you for sharing that with regard to the PMS, because it isn't just 1 week a month, 12 times a year.
Right.
Because depending on what is said and done, you know, you can really create some hostility in the home.
Yeah.
And, you know, with your children as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, were you always proud?
And I want to set a good example for my daughter, and I don't want to have this mentality of once a month it's okay to do this. She's going to pick up on that. She's too young right now, but she's seen what has happened. I want to teach my children that they are responsible for how they treat others, for their actions. If they have a problem, they need to deal with it in the open and get it out instead of pushing it behind and using food as a comfort for that.
Well, thank you for sharing that. That's just excellent material. And what I want to do now is let's go back to, you finished 136 in November of 2001.
Right.
Now, as I said, I'm interviewing you today because you've done so well even since then. Tell us what you've done since then with regard to weight.
I made it through the maintenance period.
Got through the January 15th.
Got it through. And actually, when I started a second challenge in January with a lot of the ladies that had gone through the Diva 1, because some of them were not finished either.
Right.
I had wanted to, in the back of my mind, I had always wanted to lose 10 more pounds. I thought that would get me down to where I wanted to be. And so I set a challenge over a 12-week period of time to lose 10 pounds. Now, I started at 135 in January, so I had lost a pound during the maintenance period, which after getting through the maintenance period and losing a pound, that was an accomplishment for me.
That's an excellent accomplishment, and that's something that just shouldn't be glossed over. You made it from Thanksgiving through January 15th and actually didn't gain anything. You lost a pound.
And I realized that when we gave our starting weight, I realized that, oh my gosh, all these women have gained weight. You know, some it's a couple pounds, sure. Others, you know, one had gained it all back.
Sure.
And that's when I realized, okay, I did good. It was okay to but it was okay to just be in maintenance for a while these, you know, overwhelming holidays and all the events that were going on. It was okay to just maintain. And by having that mindset, I did maintain, and I even lost a pound.
Okay, so we started like...
I started at 135.
Okay.
In January, and my goal was to go to 125, and I did something that's scared the pants off of me, I signed up for a 5K, which was to be in April.
Okay. Why did that scare you?
Because I always looked at runners and just thought, oh, I would love to do that, but I'm, you know, I could never do that. I had gotten to the point where I could run, because before I could only walk. And during the challenge, especially on Saturdays, I would go to the park and run. And I started out at a half a mile. Then I would go to three-fourths of a mile. Then I would try a mile. And I just worked my way up to doing 3 miles without stopping. So I wanted to try a 5K. And so I did go through the challenge. 130, the second challenge, 130 was a big barrier to me.
And that's a mental barrier.
Yes.
Why? Because, you know, from a logical point of view, it's just a number. So it obviously had to be a mental barrier, and I'm going to stress, too, that once again, this is very, very common. There's some number a lot of times for men and women that is a big mental barrier. It's like trying to break, you know, the first time that the four-minute mile was broken.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's just, I don't know if it's possible, but there are a number of reasons that a certain number could be a barrier.
Right. A lot of them were people around me were saying, oh, you've lost so much weight. Oh, you don't need to lose anymore. Or you're fit now.
How about your teeth?
You're anorexic if you lose anymore.
You're too skinny already.
Yeah. And so that number, 125, seemed impossible to me, but going through and seeing all the drastic changes in the Diva 1, I put that number down on paper, and I was going to get to that number. And so I did. It took me 12 weeks, and for 4 or 5 weeks during, right in the middle, right at that barrier, at the 130 barrier, I was stuck for 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, once I got past that barrier, it was just wonderful.
And you got past that barrier because you had settled it enough, you had committed to the goal, you had committed to the second challenge.
Right.
And just did not want to end the challenge.
And I challenged myself, get down to 125. Can you do it? Do you have enough inside you to do it?
Mm-hmm.
And I would challenge myself, and I do not want to let myself down. When I have a goal, I'm very aggressive, and I'm very persistent. And I just stuck with it.
That's just excellent insight. It really, really is. And so you finished the second challenge. I'm going to assume that you made it to 125.
Yes.
Okay. And did you pretty much just nail that? You hit exactly 125?
Yes.
Okay. So that was in, like, April. And did you run the 5K?
I ran the 5K. My goal was to... I had two goals in running it. One was to not stop, to run it without stopping. And the other one was to come in under 30 minutes. And I did both of those.
Well, that's excellent. Now, that was in April?
That was in April.
Okay, so you came in the club at 159. You graduated the first challenge at 136. You maintained through the holidays and even lost a pound. You finished a second challenge just between you and some of the other women of Diva 1 at 125 in April. You are now resistance training. You ran a 5K. You accomplished all of those goals with regard to running it in under 30 minutes. So now you're 125 pounds in April or so, and now we are in October of 2002,
mm-hmm.
And what's the weight now?
125.
And
I like that number.
Well, it suits you.
I'm in a size two and size four.
Yeah, it's...
And still, even over just that time from April to now, my weight has stayed the same, but my body's still changing. I'm still responding to the weight training. Getting toner, getting leaner, and what I thought was not possible, you know?
Exactly. So you were 125 in April, and you're 125 today in October of 2002, and so you've maintained quite well the weight. However, with resistance training, continuing with that, your shape has continued to change.
Right.
And you're now in fours and twos.
Mm-hmm.
And did you ever imagine, when you were 170, that you could ever, ever weigh 125, even in your wildest dreams?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Because I know you had the 150 barrier there.
Yeah.
And then you had the 130 barrier.
Yeah.
And now the 125 suits you quite well. And I've met you, and you're in excellent physical condition, and you've done just extremely well. But why do you believe, then, with all that's been said and done, and all that you've gone through, why do you believe that you were able to maintain and even excel further, you know, past the first challenge, when so many others slip or relapse and gain all their weight back and more, why do you feel it's you've been able to do this when so many others cannot or do not?
Well, part of what I mentioned before was that I didn't think of it as a quick fix. The 12 weeks and then, oh, the 12 weeks is over, go back to my normal lifestyle. I realized early on that if I was going to do this, I was going to have to change some things. I was going to have to get some things straightened out in my life. And I was going to have to change the way I was operating. And in the back of my mind, you know, when I was overweight for all of those many years, I always pictured myself as being thin, but it seemed like an impossible goal. Now that I'm there, anything seems possible. I mean, I have so many goals in different areas of my life now. I have business goals, other personal goals that have just been so possible to me now, where before I only dreamed of a certain kind of life. I didn't think I'd actually be living that kind of life. But once I broke all those barriers, the 150 barrier and the 130 barrier, I realized, you know, I have other goals and in other areas of my life. If I apply this mindset to those goals, I can do them too. You know, anything is possible.
Did you say that being heavy for that period of time, you know, during the having the children and all of that, would you say that because the weight loss part of your life had not been conquered, that it really held you back in many other areas?
Yes. I always had that in the back of my mind. When I get to this certain weight, I'll do this. Well, once I got to that weight, it was time to do this.
Right.
It was finally time, but I was scared. I was very scared, and I think that's a lot of what held me back for so many years.
You were scared when and why?
I was scared of, I was using that weight as a shield because I knew once I lose that weight, I have to get on with the rest of my life and I have to do these aggressive goals that are going to change my life.
That's excellent. In the new book and program, that's an area that I talk about and we call that ambivalence, where it's, you know, the easier way to say it perhaps is I want it yet I don't.
Right.
You know, I want to be there but I'm afraid because just like you said, that, you know, once you get there, then you will have to do the things that you've been saying you're going to do when you get there.
Right.
And that is a little bit scary.
It's very scary. But it was very worth it. And it's just something that you have to go through to break those barriers down.
Now, a lot of people would say, Sandy, and you just brought this to my mind, in that, you know, when you were going through the first challenge with me and just continuing on as a member and then going through the second challenge, kind of sort of on your own with the other women, still a part of the club and so forth,
mm-hmm.
Your focus, you know, was very much so on the physical part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people say, God, I just feel like I'm obsessed right now because all I do is think about my next meal and my next exercise session and planning everything out. Mm-hmm. But what I'm hearing you say is now that you have pretty much mastered the program and you have been in maintenance for quite a while now and you just continue to excel, it has opened your mind up, and now the thoughts aren't so overpowering and obsessive, and, you know, you're not so maniacal on your physical side that you get to free those parts of your brain that were thinking about the physical side.
Right.
And think about other areas of your life now.
Right.
How to be a better whatever.
Yeah, I had to go through that period of time where I just focused on my workouts and my diet. I had to go through that because it was new to me. It was so new to me. But once I got through that and it became second nature, now I don't have to put all that focus on my diet and my exercise. I just do it. I just stay with the program and I do it. I keep working out. Diet to me is second nature now. I don't have to go to even if I go to a new restaurant I've never been to before, I don't have to worry and think, oh no, what am I going to eat? I know I can find something to eat.
Should someone who's just starting out, who's been maybe doing it a few weeks to a couple of months, and they are where you were, what would you say to them when they are sitting there right now thinking, my gosh, all I do is think about this. I'm just overwhelmed in many ways. And will it ever let up? And will I ever not get to think about my weight so much? When do I not have to think about my weight as much? You know, when do I not have to put as much focus into it? What would you say to that person?
Once you reach a goal and you're able to maintain that goal, you go through that maintenance goal or that period of adjustment of getting used to your new body, and you make it through maintenance for a certain period of time. Because at the beginning, maintenance, when I went through the first maintenance period, it was work for me. But I'm in my second maintenance period now, and it's not work for me. It's not a lot of work. I think it's temporary that all the emotions and all the physical things that you have to go through just to lose that weight, it's temporary. It does get a lot better. I love maintenance now. I just love it because I'm where I want to be, and I don't have to struggle with it anymore. I think I've broken so many emotional barriers that it's just second nature to me now.
It's become who you are.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's become who I've always wanted to be. I always wanted to be secure in my weight and just not have any problems with it.
Yeah, that's excellent.
And you just have to get through that period of time where you're losing weight. You just have to do it and just keep that goal always in front of you. I mean, my husband made a board for me in our workout room where I just post different things. And if someone posted on the coaching club, or I would print it out and put it up on my board so I would see it every day. And I put pictures up there of people. And, of course, when the calendar came out, I put the calendar up there. And it's a continual motivation for me.
Yeah, that's excellent. I mean, those kinds of tools and continued motivational ideas are just excellent.
Oh, another thing I did. I remember when I was trying to break the 130 barrier. I was just so frustrated during this 4-week period of time where I was stuck. I just went to my computer and just printed out the largest it would fit on a piece of paper, 129. And I just posted it on my board.
Mm-hmm.
And every morning when I would go in there, I'd see that 129. And I knew I have to get below 130. I just have to. I mean, I would do things like that to motivate me. I realized that the things that I see are going into my brain and they're being processed. So I kind of changed my environment a little bit. I made it a lot more positive. I didn't let the negative things that I had affect me.
Well, you've shared a tremendous number of things that I think are so beneficial and powerful in helping others to become the after from the before that they may be, or to continue living the after that they've created. If they have achieved their goal weight. There are so many things you did that were almost guaranteed to help you succeed and to almost guarantee your success, that you were doing almost unwittingly, and that you just continued to do to keep furthering your progress. You had a what's next. You know, it ended up being a second challenge, and then you had a 5K, and you did it long enough for you that it's now become you. And that's exactly what we like to see. It's what we love to see for people that begin the leanest lifestyle, is do it long enough, keep up with your what's next, find your what's next after you finish an 8, 10, or 12 week experience, challenge, transformation, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And keep moving forward until you get to the point where you are now, which is maintenance bliss. You're where you want to be, and you continue training with resistance activities, and your shape continues to improve, and your weight doesn't have to go down because you're continuing to add muscle slowly but surely.
Right.
This continues to change your shape. And I just still want to thank you so much for sharing your time and personal story with myself and the members who will listen to this. I'd just like to ask you, is there anything that you'd like to tell a new member, or anything you'd like to share at all that I may have missed before we end the interview?
No, I would just encourage new members to just be consistent and to be honest with themselves. And they're logging the foods or using the nutrition analyzer. Be consistent in your workouts and keep a journal if you have to. Keep a journal of fitness ideas and fitness goals in front of you all the time, and just continue to set goals even during maintenance. Even if maintenance is your goal, state that. Write it down somewhere and have it in front of you. So it motivates you.
Well, thank you again, Sandy, and I just want to tell the members to never give up. That's the only thing else I went ahead. Never give up and keep striving, because when you get there and it becomes you, it is really so much better, funner. It allows your mind to open up, as Sandy said, to focus on other things that you'd like to improve, other ways to become better. And I just want to stress again, never give up. Sandy, thank you so much for your time today and sharing your story of triumph with us. I know the members are going to find great benefit from this interview, and hopefully we'll interview you again in the future, and we'll get an update as to how you continue to progress. Thank you much.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Club Lifestyle, or to take a free 30-day test drive as a member, just visit www.leannesslifestyle.com. That's www.leannesslifestyle.com. Make sure you check out the many other success stories we have available through our podcasting and success gallery area of our website.